on Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. A fairly quiet day in the sporting world, especially with the hurling Intermediate A and Senior A finals getting postponed due to the weather till next Saturday in Super Value Park in Cave. To some sombre news now though. And Tipperary senior football boss Philly Ryan has just passed away at the age of 59. The Clonmel Commercials man is believed to have passed away after collapsing this morning. He took over the reins at the Premier County in August of 2024, having previously led the county's minor and under 21 teams. His club have paid tribute, calling him a genuine, grounded and generous man whose humour and kindness left a lasting impression. Tipperary GA also commented on his passing, calling his death a great blow to Tipperary football. Thinking of the Ryan family. Going to rugby now, and Munster in action against Leinster in Croke Park, where it's currently 7-21 in Munster's favour at GAHQ. That's coming up to halftime. I know the game is ongoing, but to preview it and the state of Munster rugby ever so slightly, I caught up with our rugby correspondent Sarah McKenzie Foley earlier today.
Hello.
Hey Sarah, what's the crack?
Not much now, thankfully. How are you?
Having a bit of trouble with that audio, I think, so going to go to Cork City manager now, Jernash.
Sure, 1-0 defeat wasn't really a whole lot in the game. What are your overall thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Very little in the game, as you said. First half, I thought we probably shaded it, if anything. They score on the cut to half time, and look, that's the key moment in the game, no doubt. Really disappointed with the goal we conceded, and ultimately it's the same old story in terms of the result tonight, coming away from home and losing. I think the poor goal that we concede is the biggest factor in that. But look, on the whole, overall, when I watch it back, it wasn't a fantastic performance, that's for sure, by us, but it was an honest performance. I thought we had a couple of moments where we'd like to have done better and done better in the final third all night, really. I think that was the biggest thing for us. Was we defended, I think, well overall. Certainly a lot of first contacts in the box, a lot of blocks, and their threat, we know what they do, and overall I think we defended quite well. They've had a high volume of shots, but a lot of them are, when you watch them back, a lot of them are sort of half chances, and they're striking things from the edge of the box, second balls really, from balls entries into the box, and you know, a lot of them high wide and over and stuff. But with regard to us, I think that we didn't create enough moments going forward, especially second half, when we have to score, we have to chase the game. We didn't have enough quality in the final third, and that's ultimately you know, why the score ends the score just the way it does. So they're the big areas for us. The first goal is really important, that we don't concede the goal that we do, and we need to be better in our quality in the second half. But look, there's a lot of honesty, there's a lot of young players in that pitch, a lot of changes made tonight. You know, Conor Joyner, it's his first game of football for over 12 months now, coming back from a serious injury. Brodie Lee, 17-year-old, making his debut. You know, I was pleased with both of them, especially just their honesty, their endeavour, first and foremost. And look, I think in the second half we were really young. We were really young with a couple of senior players, and you know, we had Shawnee Maguire. You know, the fans have travelled tonight. They probably wanted to see Shawnee come on. I understand that, but we spent 6-7 hours on the coach today with traffic and what happened on our journey. And you know, we've worked really hard to have Shawnee fit and available and get him into really good run of games. He's worked really hard on that as well. And we're in a good place with Shawnee. So look, to the fans, I didn't want to risk Shawnee. He spent 7 hours on the bus with his hamstrings. It's not the night I want to do that.
Just in terms of the goal, it would have obviously been right in front of you here. Were you disappointed? You mentioned you were disappointed with the manner of it. I mean, I suppose Josh Tommy's not the biggest man in the world. He gets in between your two or three central defenders really and finishes from close range.
Yeah,
are you disappointed with the setup there?
Look, that's the last 2 seconds of that goal, but the goal actually comes from us having possession high up the pitch. We're in a good area, and we turn it over untidily, and we weren't good enough in those moments, and that's where the goal starts and originates from. And after that, there's lots of bits thereafter, and it culminates, like you said, with their playing heading the ball in the 6-yard box, which isn't what we want our centre halves to be allowing. So yeah, that's fair, but it's a combination of things. And look, there's a lot of things in the game tonight. There's a lot of players who've needed some football, who've played. We need to have players fit and available. We've got a really big game coming up. Tonight was a chance to change the team and mix it up and give those players those opportunities, and we need to keep them fit and available, because we can have injuries just a day before the game. So we've made some changes tonight. The goal was key, absolutely, and then the second half we were disappointed with our quality in the final third especially. But it was an honest performance.
You mentioned Brodie there. We get the con drawing in a second, but Brodie Lee, 17 years of age, and you wouldn't have thought it to look at him there. He was holding off big defenders. brought other players into play, showed a lot of experience at times when he was isolated and winning throw-ins, that kind of stuff. He must have been delighted with his performance.
Well, look, you know, Brody's a kid. He's not long turned 17, to be fair. And I think it's the benefit of, for the young players here, they're full-time with us. They're in every day. And for someone like Brody Lee, he's training with Shawnee Maguire every day. He's hopefully going to pick up some good things from him. So, you know, we've known about him. We've had him off the bench in a couple of games, a couple of big games as well. We've trusted him. Tonight's his first start. He had that eagerness, that enthusiasm. I think I said before, he's just been called to go to the World Cup, so his confidence is high with the under-17s. And yeah, I think Brody showed some bits of what he's about tonight. So I'm pleased for him. His debut in football, first start. So yeah, pleased with him.
And Conor Ryan, I think I looked it up, it was 20th of September last year where he had an injury against Finn Harps, I believe. So 13 months really, I think he's been out for. That was the last game he played in, at least. So it's been a long time coming for him, and he acquitted himself really well today. Faded towards the end a little bit, understandably, but you must be delighted that he's got 70 odd minutes under his belt.
Really pleased for him, delighted for him. He's a really good kid, and he works really hard. He's been really diligent in his rehab, and he's had to be patient. We've had to be patient because there hasn't been opportunities where we can just give him an opportunity with the pressure we've been under to try and win games. Tonight there's a little bit of freedom with regard to that, and I was pleased with him, really pleased for him, and he'll be all the better for that.
Thanks, sir. I hope the trip home is a bit more straightforward for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Jordan Ash speaking to the media after another disappointing night for Cork City up in Drogheda. But look, we are already relegated, so no harm, no foul, I guess. It's all about the FAI Cup final now. All eyes will be on the Viva on the 7th of November. I think I've finally gotten that rugby audio working, so we'll give it a bash here, and hopefully now we'll hear from our rugby correspondent Sarah McKenzie. Delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by our rugby correspondent, really, at this stage, Sarah McKenzie Foley. A big day in GAHQ as Munster take on Leinster in Croker. Sarah, do you think Munster can get the win?
I would love to go in there with loads of hope. I think there's definitely a strong possibility. I would say, I mean, look, Leinster have had a really difficult start to their season. They went down to South Africa and didn't get the results that they wanted there at all. I think they're still, in a way, although they've had less disruption with their squad, I think, like Munster, there's still a bit of trial and error happening there and they're not quite getting what they want. But I think for Munster, I suppose the big difference would be that, you know, we do have a new head coach in Clayton McMillan. And although many of the coaches underneath him have remained the same, there's a lot of change happening. And I think that we are still in that trial and error phase. And I think possibly it's a good time to be playing Leinster. I know that the Munster-Leinster fixture is a bit of a special occasion and that both sides are more riled up for it than probably any other regular season game. But to me, it does feel like Munster should be going up to Dublin with, you know, a decent level of confidence and belief that if they can put their game plan together and if they can gel, that they should really be able to get a result against Leinster.
Well, what are those changes in the Munster side that people are on about over the last while?
Yeah, I mean, we've changed 10 players in the starting 15 for the second game in a row, which obviously can make things challenging, especially early in the season. But again, Clayton McMillan is still really trying to figure out what are his best combinations. I mean, we've just had Jack Crowley coming back, Ty Byrne just coming back, and we've got Edwin Odogwu actually starting, which is fantastic. I think there's potential here. One of my worries, I think, would be that Leinster have, you know, five internationally capped players on their bench, and I think the Munster bench, in comparison to that, while they're, you know, in terms of the provincial side of things, they're experienced. I think that, let's say, if we get to 60 minutes and things are still quite close, there's a possibility that Leinster bench could really come on and make a bigger impact. And again, even if you're just looking at the team sheets, you know, you have so many bigger names on that Leinster side. But I do think, you know, your Tom Farrells, your Dan Kellys, they've been playing fantastically well. I think Takir Abrams is a huge talent, as long as we can keep him healthy. And Fineen Witcherly has been playing really well too. So I think for Munster, it'll really be, if they gel together as a side, that's where the performance is going to come from. And I think for Leinster, it's more so, can we, you know, get with getting these big players back, the international players who are just now coming back, can we get a performance out of them in, essentially, for a lot of them, what is their first provincial game back since earlier this summer.
Were you surprised to see our very own Adogbo put in the side? I know he came back here in his native Cork in Virgin Media Park, being a fantastic player by all accounts, I'm sure. You probably know more about him than I do. But were you surprised to see him get into the squad? A lot of people did online anyway.
I was a little bit surprised to see him starting, certainly. I think from what I'm reading it, the comments that Clayton McMillan has made, he's been really, really impressed by Edwin's drive to get back on the pitch. You know, he's had that horrible injury and he seems to have completely dedicated himself to, I suppose, not only just getting back as soon as he could, but getting back in the right form and at the right time. And I think Clayton McMillan really seems to value that work ethic. And I think it's also a good example. You know, Munster have already had some players out injured already in these 30 games of the season. So I think it's also a good message for the squad to say, you know, look, if you show this sort of work ethic and you do it the right way, I will reward you. So I think it's a nice move really from Clayton McMillan. I hope that it pays off. And I think Edwin, it should really put, I think, a fire in his belly, because that's a massive, green flag and a massive kind of pat on the back from your coach to see that.
And you think Munster have a strong bench going into it? I mean, I'm looking at here, Klein Coombs, I mean, to have him coming off the bench, he'll surely be an impact, and Ankyville there as well.
Yeah, I think, again, it kind of comes back to these are players maybe that have had a bit more game time. I think the weather could potentially play a part here. I know it's my understanding is it's not as bad in Dublin as it is down here in Cork today, but the wind, I think, is going to be a factor. So, you know, if Jack Crowley is struggling, do we look to JJ Hanrahan? I think it's really, a lot of it is going to be on a knife edge. I think that if we get down to, again, the 60-minute mark maybe, and we start to look at the bench, I think McMillan is going to have to be really clever about how he uses it. And obviously that's bearing in mind that we hopefully don't incur any major, any additional major injuries. But I think there's potential there for a result today for Munster. It's just that, you know, when it's the classic thing of on paper, Leinster looks so strong, but they have been struggling. So I suppose we have to hope that they continue to have those challenges and we're able to just gel a bit more and just be a bit more of a team out there on the pitch.
Can't get away from Munster or Leinster without talking about Crowley versus Prendergast. Do you think this is going to be a bit of a shootout today between the two boys to put the hand up for that November series 10 shirt?
I think so. I think it's the timing of it is a bit unfortunate. Obviously, we haven't really seen much of Jack Crowley, whereas Sam Prendergast we have, and things haven't been going well for Leinster. And I think unfortunately sometimes when you're the number 10, a lot of that responsibility, you know, regardless of your age or experience, it does fall back on you because you're the marshal really within the team. And I think it'll be interesting to see, especially if that win does play a part for the kickers. That's obviously a massive part of it if it comes down to, say, a really low scoreline and they're just looking to keep the scoreboard ticking over, then absolutely these two guys are going to come into their own even more than they usually would. And yeah, you have to say it's going to be, I think it's going to take a lot for Jack to overtake Sam Prendergast at this point, because obviously Prendergast has been, you know, he has kind of passed him out really in a sense and for that Irish jersey. But that's a massive motivation as well. We can't kind of overstate the drive that would give Jack Crowley. So fingers crossed he's able to translate that into a good performance today.
A poor showing from the Munster numbers in the Irish squad compared to Leinster especially. Is there going to be a few lads today, hopefully, as well? We're going to, I guess they can't put the hand up now, but show Andy Farrell away. Hopefully he was wrong.
I think they still can. I think, you know, it's been a really busy year for rugby on the international level, especially with the Lions Tour, and you know, guys can't just keep playing infinite number of games. I think you have to keep putting your hand up even when the selection comes out. If your name isn't on that sheet, I think you still just have to keep playing hard, because there will be injuries, there will be things that happen, and you may still be called upon. So yeah, absolutely, I think that's going to be a big factor out there today. And, you know, rightly so, these guys should want to keep pushing for those spots. I think I think it's unfortunate, really, that the balance is still so Leinster focused when they are struggling. But I think, again, if we come back to on paper, you know, the names on that team sheet are, they're hard to argue with at times. So all we can do is kind of hope that the Munster guys can keep putting in the performances, keep showing them why, you know, they should be under consideration.
What was it, 8 out of 9 front rowers? Leinster, which is incredible. Look, today's game, where do you think it's going to be won and lost?
I think it's going to be really close. I think that although Leinster are, you know, Leo Cullen has said that they're chasing Munster, I don't really buy into that. I think that's a bit of coaching gamesmanship. I think on form this season so far, yes, Munster should edge a win. But also if we get into a slow attritional game with the weather, I think that gives Leinster an opportunity to grind out even a draw, even a win. So I think also the crowd is going to play a big part here. You know, it's Croke Park, which is, I mean, it's almost a neutral venue, really. I know it's in Dublin, but it's kind of not a home fixture for either side in a sense. So I think that's going to be a big part of it as well. I do think that this is possibly Munster's best opportunity in quite a long time to get that win done, even though they are on the road. So I'm really, really hoping that despite all the changes that have been made, this is the experiment that starts working. And I think if Munster can really suffocate Leinster in the first 10-15 minutes, sort of give them a shock, I think that could potentially put Leinster on the back foot and Munster would be able to push on from there.
Hopefully so. I'm feeling a Munster win, but look, what are you feeling?
Yeah, I think fingers crossed it's our best opportunity in quite a long time. So I think either a Munster win by, you know, a small margin or potentially a draw.
All right, Sarah McKenzie Foley, thanks so much for speaking to us and enjoy the game.
No problem at all.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. And Munster lead Leinster at halftime in the URC this evening. Susanna Mullen of Off the Ball has the latest from Croke Park.
Halftime here in Croke Park, and it's Leinster 7, Munster 21. It was initially a similar start to last year's game as the boys in blue dominated at set piece. The Munster forwards were no match for a line stacked front row, and scrum penalties were the story of the opening 10 minutes. Off the second of the latter, Leinster went to the corner and Ronan Kelleher was off the back of the maul with a straight path to the try line. Sam Prendergast added the extras, but it was Munster who came back fighting. His opposite number, Jack Crowley, had some moments of magic as the pressure built on the home side. And on the third time of asking, it was 21-year-old Brian Gleeson who finally got the ball over the line. And all of a sudden, the tables had turned as the Munster boys began to rise to the occasion. Crowley sent a pinpoint kick over the Leinster defence, and a one-handed take from Tom Farrell left James Lowe in the dust as he dived under the posts. Next, it was scrum half Ethan Coughlin's turn to put his name in lights as he left British and Irish line Gibson Park gobsmacked. He picked off a pass at pace, and an 80-metre run had Munster fans on their feet. Jack Crowley added the extras, and it's a dream first-half performance from his side. Halftime and the home side have plenty of work to do. It's Leinster 7, Munster 21.
Yeah, brilliant stuff from Munster so far. Hopefully they can keep it going 4-for-4 in the URC. Well, we're going to go back to a bit of football now, and it was a pleasure to be joined in the studio by our new recruit in the Big Red Bench House, Orla O'Leary, to chat about Liverpool and Man United, as well as the state of Cork City at the moment. Orla will be taking over a few shows here and there on the Big Red Bench going forward. Here she is, making her Red FM debut. All right, we're delighted to be joined here in the Big Red Bench studio by our very own Orla O'Leary. Liverpool take on Manchester United, of course, tomorrow at 4:30 in Anfield. Orla, as a Man United fan, how confident, on a scale of 1 to 10, are we feeling about this fixture?
I'm not confident, to be honest, Dan. But like, I feel like we're going to pull a draw off, to be honest. But the fact it's in Anfield, I'm very, very optimistic as to what way it's going to go.
What have you made of Manchester United's season so far? Is it as bad as people have made out?
Oh, yeah. It is so bad. Like, I can't emphasise that enough. Like, I don't know, to be honest, like, what's actually causing them to play so bad? Like, we got, like, new signings and everything, and Mbeumo was performing so well at the start of the season, and now he's just not anymore, and it's just absolutely devastating because I want us to at least win a match.
Do you think it was a wrong decision signing him, or why do you think he's gone wrong, maybe?
I don't know. Like, I think he has gone wrong, like, a small bit, to be honest. Because, I don't know, like, I just don't get it. Like, his record isn't great, like, at all. Like, with Man United.
And what did you make about your goalkeeper situation, right, to get rid of Onana?
Okay, that was a good decision. Let's be for real. That was a good decision. But now he's, like, playing with some Turkish team. And he's playing so well. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what is that about?
Do you think there's something that maybe in the DNA at United at the moment is what you're trying to say? Just,
I think so, to be honest. Because, like, even Hoyland left for Napoli, he's playing unreal, like.
Yeah.
I don't get what
Matt
it is.
McTominay is a new player, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone as well a good few years ago, 2 years ago now, I think.
So, yeah, you think it's something at the club, the fabric at the club not going not too great. Do you have any shining lights? Do you think you can latch on to anything now for tomorrow's game?
Hope, I guess, that we pull, like, a last minute winner. That's it, really. Get Harry Maguire up forward, get him to score a last minute header.
If you're not down by 5-0 at that stage.
True. Unfortunately, I hope not, but unfortunately that could be the way it could go.
What else are you expecting from this game? What are you expecting from Liverpool? Is there anything you think that they're going
to
bring?
Do you know what now? Recently, they have not been performing to their best of their capabilities. But I know when Liverpool were usually performing bad, they usually go out and give us some game and end up trashing us. So that's why I'm actually not hopeful at all.
Well, that's the sign of a champion winning team. You're winning games that are picking up points in games that you probably don't deserve a whole pile from.
Oh, yeah.
It'll stand to them, I'm sure, at the end of the year. Do you think this Liverpool outfit is, again, good enough to go and win the league? I certainly do.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I have no reason why you can't win the league, like, unless you get unlucky with injuries and stuff. But, I mean, I'm hoping for a lot here, but hopefully we at least get Champions League places. We've no European football this year, so it's really not good for us.
Well, at least it might help you with the league if you have no European football, to be fair. At least it gives you something to concentrate on. Where do you stand on the whole Ruben Amorim in or out thing at the moment?
You see, like, I really don't know, because every manager we've had in the last, like, year or two, like, they haven't, like, it's not, I don't think it's their fault, to be honest. I think it's whatever atmosphere is in Manchester United, like, and that's affecting it, and it's affecting the team's performance. But I don't know, to be honest, still his record isn't great compared to, like, Ten Hag, and he got the sack. But no, I'd say if I was to choose, I'd say out.
Okay, you're getting rid of him now, but who would you bring in then on top of it? That is the question.
Do you know what? Like, literally, like, you don't know, honestly.
Well, that's it. If you're going to say I'm remote, yeah, you need to have someone else ready to come in.
I know, exactly. Roy Keane, go on now. Get him in.
He's been cracking it. He's going to be Ireland manager anyway. So
I swear.
I wouldn't worry about that.
He'd put them in their place, I tell you. There'd be no whining.
I hope so. Listen, looking at that Liverpool outfit, who are you most worried about? Salah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Getting a bit of criticism, he hasn't been up to scratch as much this season, but do you think tomorrow he could come good?
Do you know what now? Salah, recently, I've had him in my fantasy football league and I've captained him for the start of it and it didn't give me much and I was actually in shock, and then I actually sat down, watched a Liverpool game, and he was not performing to the ways that he could. But I will say, who is standing out for me this season for Liverpool is Szoboszlai. He is doing absolutely amazing, and on the international level as well.
He scored two goals. Yeah, equaliser against Portugal.
Against Portugal, yeah. Oh, stop. When I seen that, I was like, oh, for God's sake. Of all people now, it would have to be him.
Well, for a Man United fan, yeah. It would be,
literally.
Would be extra annoying. Who do you think needs this game more tomorrow?
I actually feel like Liverpool do. Because I think it's actually more of an embarrassment for ye if you were to lose against us. Do you know what I mean? But although it would be great if we won, because then, like, you know, we'd get up a bit on the table. But I'd say Liverpool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Liverpool absolutely need this win more. It would be an embarrassment, especially at Anfield with that home crowd behind them. I just don't think it's a good look. Arsenal, they're, of course, in action as well. They're top of the league at the moment. don't know if they're going to go away totally this year. I think Man City are going to come good. So, yeah, Liverpool need to be picking up bad results against the weak teams like Man United, really, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And even hearing you say weak teams now has me absolutely gutted, because you wouldn't be saying that this time a couple of years ago.
Well, you only said it's a wind up, but it's probably not wrong either. Speaking of weak teams, let's talk about Cork City for a small bit. I know we're both defending them anyway, even if our Premier League rivalries differ. What have you made of an absolute terrible season for the club?
Oh, honestly, I just think it's actually not great at all. Like, the performance wasn't there. I don't think their hearts were really in it either, to the degree they could be in.
Well, that's it. Like, I mean, this performance against Pat kind of came out of, like, absolutely nowhere, because their form in the league was a bit up and down, and it kind of started tanking then. And then they pull out the best 90 minutes of football we've seen all season, beating a flaky Pat side 3-0. So it does probably leave the fans questioning small, but well, lads, where was that performance for the whole year?
Yeah, definitely. But as well, we've had so much injuries, like our main players like Cathal O'Sullivan, Rory Keating, Shawnee Maguire. And they signed Fíochar Kelleher later on in the season, which has made a difference. And he's gone on to captain us, which is great.
Oh, sure. He hasn't been great at all. Sorry, no. He might have gone on to play.
Him. They actually have not played him a lot.
Haven't played him a lot because he hasn't been great.
I mean, give him a go. Give him a go is what I say.
This is where you tell me now you're related to Fíochar somehow.
No, my brother is best friends with his brother, so...
All right, I'll leave it there. So, I suppose you're right in the injury front, but I think it comes back to just not being prepared at the start of the year. We knew what was coming. Not having another striker absolutely kill us. Mm-hmm, there was a stuff with Gennaro Daniels, of course. But yeah, like we were playing last night, and we didn't even have a striker on the pitch. Like, it was Conor Drinan, a winger, who was up top for us. They're just seemed to be covering them all in cotton wool now ahead of this FAI Cup final. But anyway, we are there. We're heading to Aviva. Are you going yourself?
I'm not, unfortunately. But you know what, Dan? Do you know what I think is the biggest problem with Cork City?
What?
Is the League of Ireland. Everyone just plays there to go on over to the Premier League, the Championship, League One, League Two. Like, they're not given enough here in Ireland to continue their career here.
Do you reckon? There's a few lads of Cork City now on enough to keep them around, I'd say, no? Their wages are going up and up all the time, I tell you. They're not getting lads that badly paid as people like to make out.
True. No, you're not wrong there. But as well, like, it's the more of the, like, younger lads, do you know? Like Cathal O'Sullivan, like, is he still with us or is he going somewhere else?
I think he's off to bigger and better things regardless anyway, to be fair to me. He's too talented for us to keep him down here, even though it'd be great to see him on Lee side for the next year or two. Matthew Murray will surely get a move to England sometime over the next while. So yeah, look, I mean, our academy work has been absolutely incredible. Well, look, you never said, why aren't you going to the FA Cup final? What's so big, like?
I don't know.
Something to drop dead now or something. Like, there would be a good reason.
I'm just not getting up, to be honest, to go for it, because it's just in
too
Dublin.
Painful.
Like, it's in Dublin. Like,
Jesus,
you're
worse than the Kerry and Kilkenny fans. Wouldn't travel down the road. Actually, they go to the finals, to be fair to them.
That's about it. But, like, they should bring it to Cork, you know. Like, just put it in Parky Keefe for the laugh.
Well, maybe in fairness, if we were playing Kerry in the final, but we are playing, of course.
That would have been unreal now.
We are playing, of course, Shamrock Rovers, unfortunately, who I'm sure will be eyeing up their league and cup double. They'll be up for giving us a hiding, which, let's face it, is a big possibility. But do you think we can get the job done on the day?
I actually really think we could, which is actually crazy, considering if we do, we could be possibly playing First Division football with European football.
I would hate and love it at the same time. I would love going on my little European adventure, but getting absolutely hammered by some Croatian fifth division team probably isn't the best look on the club.
That's true, but like, especially now, it's like Cove Ramblers, they're performing so well this season. Like, they're in the playoffs now to try and get to the Premier Division, so imagine if they went up when we went down.
Don't even... Will you stop? Like, don't even be entertaining thoughts like that. I know, fair play to everyone down in Cove. They're doing stellar work, and hopefully everything goes right for them. I kind of would like to see them in the Premier Division, but it can be tough for a time like that, you know what I mean, to be in a Premier Division keep against the likes of a Bowes, against the likes of a Shamrock. I think it's too tough going, and they'd be straight back down.
In fairness now, I actually would like them in the Premier Division, but only if Cork City were in it as well. Because imagine like just going to St. Colman's Park and Turner's Cross, like watching the old Cork derbies.
Well, it would be nice as well. Well, I don't know who's the A or B team there. They might see us as the buffer team down the bottom of the table rather than rather than the other way around, to be fair to them. Who do you think's going to win it for the cup for us on the day, if it comes to it?
Who do you think's going to score the winning goal? Like?
Well,
I say Maguire again. He'll recreate that moment.
That's the easy show. Will you stop?
But no. Yeah, like
Keaton's going to come back from injury. Rory Keaton's going to come back from injury. He'll be playing in the final. I feel it in my bones, and he will score the winner and send the South Stand into absolute ruptures.
Chaos. No, I'd love it, to be fair, if they actually won. It would give them something as well, though. But I feel like that's actually what they focused on as well. Like kind of like as the season went like on, I feel like they more took away from the league and kind of went more into the cup and was like, oh, we'll see what we'll get from this now.
Yeah, well, maybe that's just when a semi-final against Pats was knocking on the door, because we had the easiest run in possibly FAI Cup history with Leicester, Celtic, Finn Harps. Jesus, was there even Kerry in there? I can't even remember now. But yeah, maybe not the echelons of Irish football, but Shamrock Rovers will be the test of all tests in the Aviva on the 7th of November. Hopefully you have your bus and train tickets booked. I think it's impossible for anyone getting up anyway, even if you are looking to go. I think you'd be going by car, because as far as I can tell, there's a good 30-40 buses going up, I think, and trains, you just can't get them. I think there was special trains put on by Irish Rail, sold out straight away. So there'll be a huge Cork City sport in the Aviva, as I said, on the 7th of November. I know we're being a bit positive there now, but relegation again now, like, it's just happening way too often, going up and straight back down. Where do you think it has gone wrong for Cork City?
I don't know, to be honest. Like, the squad that we had, that was absolutely, like, on fire. I remember being a kid, like, watching them, and it was Ogbeni, Shawnee Maguire, like, as the front line, like, and, oh my God, they just played so well. And it was the second they lost Shawnee Maguire, that time around, I feel, was when things started kind of declining for Cork City.
Yeah, I think so. I think the money went away and Shawnee went away, and I think that was probably the end of it. Listen, Orla, hopefully Cork City get off the line again, as I said. But tomorrow, actually, Liverpool, Man United, let's go in full circle. What do you think the full-time result is going to be?
I'm going to be optimistic and say 2-2.
2-2. 2-2, she says. I'm saying 3-0 Liverpool.
Oh, wow, you're very hopeful.
And Manchester United will prove why I'm so hopeful tomorrow at 4:30 in Anfield. All right, Orla, thanks so much for coming to the studio.
Go on, thank you.
Yeah, brilliant debut there from Orla O'Leary on the Big Red Bench. You'll be hearing plenty from her over the next few weeks and months. Plenty to come here in the
Big Red Bench. Cork, good times. Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you now for the only next 20 minutes or so. We're going to go to a quick Premier League roundup, in Sunderland recorded a 2-0 win over Wolves earlier in the Premier League. John Middleton had the full-time report from Stadium of Light.
Wolves will lament their missed second half chances, many being dragged wide, only three on target, saved quite comfortably by Ralphs in the Sunderland goal, two in injury time when the game seemed lost. Ironically, it was a Wolves player who put the game to bed, Krejcik putting into his own net after some great work down the Sunderland left to add to Makaleli's first half goal. Sunderland 2, Wolves 0.
That's our Brighton had beaten Newcastle 2-1 in the Premier League. Alan Lewis said the full-time from the Amex.
In the past, Brighton have let leads slip at home, and when Nick Voldemada's cheeky back flick equalised for Newcastle with 15 minutes to go, it looked like same old story. But Fabian Hurtula said he was very happy with the mentality his team had to get the winner, and in Danny Welbeck, they couldn't have had a calmer, more experienced head to do it. Eddie Howe said that his team were a little off as they search for a first away win of the season. Brighton 2, Newcastle 1.
And Peter Smith has a full-time report from Burnley Leeds.
Burnley 2, Leeds 0. Leslie Ogachukwu's 90th minute header, connecting with Cal Walker's searching cross, provided Burnley with a platform. They defended well, although did have a let off when an unmarked Brendan Aronson saw his shot come back off the post. But after further solid Raygaard action, substitute Lune Charma doubled their advantage, switching to his left foot 20 yards out to power in a rising curler, consequently securing a second Premier League win of the campaign. Burnley 2, Leeds United 0.
And elsewhere, Crystal Palace and Bournemouth played out a fantastic 3-3 draw. Craig Wakeling at the Fulton Airport.
A thriller at Selhurst Park, which sees Jean-Philippe Mateta score a late equaliser from the penalty spot to secure a hat-trick, and a 3-3 draw against Bournemouth. The Cherries went 2-0 up before the break with a brace from Kopri. Mateta then followed up with one of his own, only to see Ryan Christie come off the bench and put the visitors ahead again. Then Mateta saved it for Palace. Then he missed from 6 yards out, right at the death. So close, but so far it finished Palace 3, Bournemouth 3.
And last of these, Darren Stanage has the full-time report as Man City beat Everton 2-0. It is marked audio quality, so we'll find out together how good or not good this is.
City 2, Everton 0. Erling Haaland scored in his 11th successive games as he was once again the difference for City as they beat a stubborn Everton side at the Etihad. The first hour pretty quiet. Those had the possession, didn't create chances. Everton didn't take their best chances. Beto couldn't get on the end of an Alcaraz cross. He slid his effort wide. But with his first chance, Haaland found the net, heading home after he was picked out by a fine cross from O'Reilly. James Garner almost levelled immediately. His shot deflected wide before Haaland grabbed his second. Pull back from Savinho, deflected effort from the edge of the box. 2-5 from the Norwegian, and that ended the game as a contest. The Toffees unable to find a response, and Haaland almost had an injury time hat-trick. Pickford saved well to deny the Norwegian on two occasions when you'd have put your house on him to score. Manchester City 2, Everton 0.
Before we move into a bit of LGFA action, we're going to look at the rugby in Croke Park, and Munster have extended their lead. It's currently 24 points to Munster to Leinster 7. Ballincollig women's rugby team were in action in the AIL today against Cork, struggling to find the update from there, but look, hopefully we'll have an update there on tomorrow's show. And those Energia AIL updates are with thanks to Energia. Think of the possibilities at LGFA, as I said. And two Cork LGFA clubs were in AIB Munster Championship action earlier this afternoon. Cork Senior A champions Air Oak, they travelled to Waterford for the Munster Senior A quarter final meeting with Comora Rangers, and the matchup went to extra time, and apparently an amazing game before Comora emerged 1-12-2-5 winners there. But there was better news from a Cork point of view in Kerr County Tipperary, where Cork Senior B champions Glanmire, they defeated Kerr 2-12-2-8 to qualify for a Munster LGFA Senior B semi-final at home to Kerry champions Nagale next weekend. And the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy spoke to Glanmire manager Conor Quinlan shortly after the final whistle.
Now on the Big Red Bench, despite the desperate weather this weekend, thankfully most, if not all, of the Munster LGFA Championship ties that were scheduled to go ahead did go ahead, and one of those was in the Senior B Championship in the quarterfinals. Glanmire, the Cork County champions, travelled to Kerr and came away with a fantastic 2-12-2-7 victory. Delighted to say we're joined on the line by the Glanmire manager, Conor Quinlan. Conor, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. First of all, congratulations into the Munster semi-finals.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, delighted just to be still in the competition. We spoke 2 weeks ago after the county final about us being on the upward trajectory, and this is probably another just step forward again against the battle-hardened Care team.
And the fact that you had to go into their back door to do it, Conor, and I would imagine conditions were not easy today, makes it all the sweeter.
Yeah, we've been very lucky for the last few weeks. It hasn't even been wind while we were training and stuff. So to come up today with this weather and, you know, it tight as pitch as well. These girls are, like, this is only our second year senior, so we're just loving these battles at the moment. Girls are learning along the way as well. We took a while to get going, to be honest. But we got a good start, but they came back into a great game. We had a strong breeze in the second half. Then we came out kind of fighting again, and we kind of put them away early, to be honest.
You did, and I suppose getting the two goals, like any tight game like this, you won by 5 or 6 points in the end, but those two goals, this is a team that always comes up with goals and whenever it seems to need to in the big games, and you've carried that county championship form and that pattern of getting those goals into the Munster Championship now as well.
Yeah, well, we've scored from all over the pitch, to be honest. Even our half-backs are threats as well. We encourage them to move forward and stuff like that. So the reason that the management are kind of so confident in the girls is that because we'll always kind of create probably 35 attacks plus. So we're always in the right area, and we're kind of a brave team as well, I suppose, in that we play push up on more stuff and take our chances. Might leave a few gaps at the back, but look, it's all about moving forward and trying to create, isn't it?
Certainly is, and you keep talking about the progression of this group and of this club. It's not unfamiliar with winning provincial titles at junior level and All Ireland titles in the recent past. But when you move up to senior, it is a big step up. Had you any concerns coming out of the victory over O'Donovan Ross going into Munster? Obviously, you're going to celebrate it, and you're entitled to celebrate winning a senior B county title. But had you any concerns that because the turnaround was so quick to the Munster Championship, that you know some of the players?
I wouldn't really call it concerns and stuff. It's like we spoke about just during the week to the girls. It's about coming into the unknown. And then it's about the girls figuring it out themselves on the pitch. So what we spoke about was that if we get a break in play, or if we get a 5 minute break, or a break after 5 minutes, that the defenders and the forwards maybe, you know, get together separately and figure out what the kick out is like. If you don't know the opposition, and they're trying to learn on the job themselves. I mean, from the sideline point of view, we can only go up to around 65, so we can't get down to the other side and giving advice. We have a couple of girls on the far side, but it's just not easy to get in the messages. So girls will just have to take responsibility themselves, and we put a lot of emphasis on that in training and stuff like that, where girls are responsible in taking control and figuring out the game plan themselves, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned that as well in the run to the Senior B and winning the Senior B, the depth of your panel and the way that you're able to, I suppose, the one real big positive trait I see with Glanmire is that you're able to play different ways, Conor. You're not just set in one way of playing. Does that come from the experience of coming up through the ranks and now that you're up at senior, having to raise your game again? You're seeing that reaction from the players that they're improving all the time?
Yeah, well, the main part about that is that unexpected, you know, like we can kick past the ball, we can hand pass the ball, we could be a running team, we could be a kicking team. You have to have variety in your play. I mean, you can't be one on like all the others, you know. So we can give long ball in, you know, or kick out are varied as well. And the girls are enjoying that kind of responsibility of the variations, I suppose, in the training sessions and the variations on the pitch as well. And going back to the subs again, I mean, there was girls left out today that sat for the county final. It's not easy, you know, but there's millimetres between the girls, and it's just on the day what we feel that they're going to add on that particular day. They could come in and start the next day again. It doesn't matter to us really, you know.
And that next day, you're into the semi-finals now, and it's a pretty stacked Senior B Championship this year, because on one side of the draw now in the semi-finals, Kilmurry of Brechin will take on Ballymacarbery, but you, Glanmire, will host the Kerry champions, Na Gael, who came through against Monaghy. Again, any Kerry team, and you've experience of this down through the years as well, Conor, they're always well organised, they're always very, very tough to break down, but the advantage of playing at home, how huge is that for you?
It's very big, yeah. It's great to have a home venue as well in Munster. You know, we're expecting a big crowd next week. I'm looking forward to the game, to be honest, just as a neutral spectator, as I'd say, because I know the Kerry girls will kick ball, and they'll be moving forward, they'll be trying to score. It won't be that defensive, I suppose, and it'll be kind of probably a bit of a shootout, I'd imagine, you know.
Exactly, but you're where you want to be, Conor. And look, just finally, you've gone away from home. You've won a quarter final in the Munster. It's a huge feather in the cap for your club and for the players and the new younger players that you've blooded over the last couple of years. The confidence, the momentum, the same things we talked about in the Senior B Championship here in Cork. They're all with you at the moment, and you'll be hoping that you can carry that into that semi final now with Na Gael.
Yeah, look, it's just I mean, you know, 20 ages on the girls. There was 2 17 I was playing today. They'll be playing minor kind of next week. You know, 18 years. I know a lot of ladies' football teams are the same, and they're probably a bit more mature than the men at that age. But they're still able. It's great experience for these girls. It'll carry them through for the next 4 or 5 years. And you know, the older girls as well. They bring a lot of advice as well to the younger girls. And it's just a great setup. And I love the camaraderie between the girls. Like, we came to training on Thursday night. There was a great buzz and everybody mixing and stuff like that. A bit of music playing. They're coming to training early as well, and you know, they're just enjoying each other's company, I suppose.
And just, sorry, finally on that, I sense that vibe around you in that county final win over O'Donovan Ross and MTU that day. That's not something you can manufacture. It just happens organically because people are where they want to be. And you mentioned the fact that there's millimetres between players getting into the starting positions. So there's competition for places. Everybody's buzzing. You're into a Munster semi-final. From a management point of view, you still have to prepare for it tactically and want to get it right. But is it that much easier, Conor, because of the attitude of the players that you have?
Well, we try to create that that hunger for places. I mean, everyone's I suppose chomping at the bit to try to get in. The culture we're trying to build, for, especially this year, was that gym culture. There was a new gym built inside the bike. Girls are meeting each other there in the mornings and probably walking in darkness or walking in quietness. You know, I've seen girls in there that you know they didn't know I was around or anything like that. So this is the culture we're trying to build for the girls for the future of themselves. And they're just enjoying each other's company. From picking a team point of view, I suppose all you can do is be honest with the girls and be fair with the girls. I think we have that, you know. I think we have a lot of fun as well along the way, which I think is important. I mean, you wouldn't be turning up if you didn't think it was fun as well. But we try to go about our business serious.
Well, you're going about it the right way, Conor, because you've won today. Congratulations once again. Final score from Kerr in County Tipperary. Glanmire 2-12, Kerr 2-7 in the Munster LGFA Senior B quarterfinals. What that means is next weekend, Glanmire will be at home to the Kerry Champions Gael in the semi-finals of the Senior B Championship with a place in the Munster Provincial Decider on the line. Thank you very, very much, Conor, for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big
Thanks, sir. Appreciate the call.
Yeah, brilliant stuff there. And last, we're going to round it up with Nave of Bonn, banishing the memories of intermediate county final losses to Glanmire in 2023 and Donovan Rossa in 24 in the past two seasons by overcoming Middleton 2-11 to 1-6 in Cadove last weekend. And the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to Nave of Bonn captain Colleen Phelan about her club's victory and upcoming Munster LGFA campaign.
No, last weekend, Nave of Bonn banished the memories of intermediate county final losses to Glanmire in 2023 and O'Donovan Rossa in 2024 to become the Cork Credit Union's LGFA intermediate county champions. Even more importantly, after a couple of years of trying, the Ballyvourney Club are now a senior Cork LGFA club. To celebrate that and to talk about it, we're delighted to be joined on the line by the Nave of Bonn captain, Colleen Phelan. Colleen, how are you?
I'm very good, sir. How are you keeping?
I'm really good. Congratulations. It's been a long road for Nave of Bonn. For those who don't know, we've just mentioned it there. You lost the last two finals to Glanmire and O'Donovan Rossa, but you got over Middleton last weekend. First of all, I suppose, was it a cocktail of relief and joy, or what was the overriding emotion for you and the players at the final whistle?
Yeah, I suppose after the last 2 years, it was just mentally probably just a relief afterwards to have done it. We had two bad losses there the last 2 years, and the pressure was kind of on this year that, you know, geez, if you don't do it this year, you'll never do it. Or even we played a few teams and they were saying, oh, you'll bottle it again this year. And, you know, it was kind of always hanging over us. But I suppose the big difference this year is kind of the nerves weren't there. It was more like we were really egging to do it and driving on, and we were more prepared. Probably the last 2 years we were kind of probably a bit nervous, whereas this year we were rearing for road and we knew we could do it. I suppose we had more confidence being there the last 2 years, so we were very ready and just couldn't wait to get on the pitch and get it done.
It's also worth mentioning, Colleen, that this is a team that got to an All-Ireland Junior A final, has won Junior County and Munster Junior County titles in the recent past. But winning a Munster Intermediate title, whatever about getting the trophy, whatever about the last 2 years when you lost back-to-back county finals, as you've mentioned, the fact you're a senior club, that must be absolutely brilliant for you and the players, just waking up and knowing that you're amongst the top tier now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's massive. When we're from a small Gaelic area, you know, it's... It doesn't come by that often. I think the last time the girls got to the senior level was back in 2003. So it hasn't been done since. So just to be part of that team to have done that, it's amazing. Like, you know, this team will go down in history in the club, and it's brilliant. You'd be proud to be able to have done it.
Yes, and you should be, but I suppose I'm focusing in on the fact it's this particular group that you're a part of and you're the captain of. Like, it's one thing winning a junior, you know, County and Munster and getting to an All-Ireland. But when you make that step up, you've had such heartbreak against Glanmire and against the Donovan Ross in recent times. Like, you played a very, very good Middleton team. You beat them 2-11, 2-1-6 in the end. But this was a very, very good Middleton team that had recently won a Junior A title as well. They put it up to you on the day. But was it experience of previous finals? Or just the difference in preparation this year? I know there's been a lot more going on off the pitch in your preparation, your strength and conditioning. But those are the kind of things that got you over the line this year.
Yeah, I suppose there was a lot of extra risk going on this year, but I'd say just the fact that we've been there the last 2 years and, you know, that those nerves were kind of gone and there's been a lot of preparation. I suppose it's not just this year alone, it's the last 3 years. We've been preparing. And I think one difference this year is there's a lovely mix of young, youthful players after coming up and a mix of, I suppose, players with more experience. And there's a really balanced mix with that amongst the team, so that really helped as well. But definitely, yeah, we strengthened conditioning there during pre-season, and then we got another coach on board to do fitness and strength and conditioning throughout the year. So there's been a lot of extra things going on that definitely helped with the team. But I suppose, as I said earlier, the nerves weren't really there as much this year. It was more ready to just get out and do it. I think we all could have agreed 2 weeks ago. We met on a Friday night and we kind of just had a chat about it. And this was the week before the county final and after, as we were saying, if we had the choice to play it tomorrow, we would. You know, we were just ready. Felt like throughout the team, even our subs and everything, they're fantastic, that you'd have so much confidence on anyone who came on the pitch and the people next to you, which, you know, that really settled us as well in knowing we were ready.
Talk to me about Noel McDonough, the manager, and the backroom team that have been with you, not just this year and the last couple of years, but right from the beginning when you came through the underage setup.
Yeah, you'd be delighted for everyone, really. You know, there's so many people that, you know, it's hard to mention everyone, but there's so many people involved in the club and that really, you know, would do anything for us. You know, there's people who provide anything for us if we need it. And that's really what, you know, gets the club to senior and proves that, you know, we can be at that level when all those things are provided for us. But you'd be delighted for the likes of Noel and Pat and Digger and Dylan and Kay, like our management who are with us throughout the year. You'd be delighted for all of them, you know, to do this for them as well.
Certainly would. A Munster Championship is nothing new to you. You've been down this road before. How much are you looking forward to it?
I don't know. We'll try dust off the cobwebs now, maybe towards the end of the week, and we'll get back on track. But definitely looking forward to it. Yeah, you know, it's a nice thing to look forward to during the winter months to stay going. And when you've such a lovely bunch of girls around you, you know, it's a bit of crack still to pass the winter evenings.
But there's a determination within this group now that you've got the monkey off the back, your senior club. Before you leave the intermediate grade, I would imagine that the hunger will be there to have a real crack off this Munster Championship and possibly beyond.
Yeah, definitely. When we've been waiting so long for this opportunity, we will definitely be going out ready for old. And I suppose, you know, Cork is a very hard county to get out of, so you'd be hoping we'd have a good chance of, you know, going out and giving it our all and see how we go then.
And next year, I know we're talking very, very much down the line now. Mornabby, Ahada, Airog, and those two teams that you know quite well, Glanmire, O'Donovan Ross, Clan, Kinsale. You're up now in the top tier. But I think this group and this panel is probably ready for it, but it is a huge step up. But this is what you play for and this is what you've trained for, Colleen, and you've earned the right to be there.
Yeah, exactly. We have very experienced players, you know, on our team, and you know, they're the type of girls you want and coming up to the likes of those teams that you've mentioned. But we had a few practice games against all those senior teams there before championship. And, you know, like seeing them come out on the pitch, like that's where you want to be. That's where every club wants to be. So it'll be brilliant to have a good crack off now next year.
And just finally, Colleen, as team captain, what can you tell us about the celebrations over the last 24, 48 hours or maybe a little bit longer?
Oh, God. Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of faces that will be delighted they won't be seeing us for another few weeks, I'd say. But I know, look, I suppose that's what it's all about, is heading out afterwards, the team staying together. And those are the nights where people really get to know each other and, you know, you'd have fierce crack and stories to tell. But yeah, there's, I'd say, Omar Coos and Kilimaster probably were a good bit, they were fairly sick of us by the end of the night. But I know it was great crack. The club put on a lovely thing for us there back in the clubhouse afterwards in Ballyvourney, and know that we all met and we went from there then. So I don't know, there are some few maybe still celebrating, but Noel's orders is training Friday night, so we'll go from there then.
And Noel's orders must be obeyed. Well, listen, the 2025 Cork Credit Union's Cork LGFA Intermediate County Champions are Nav of On up at the senior grade. No club deserves it more after missing out in the last 2 years. Your team captain, Colleen Veelan, thanks very much for joining us here on the Big Red Bench. And we will be talking to you in the coming weeks ahead of that Munster Championship.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, there you have it. That's all we have time for. The latest from Croke Park, Leinster 7 points, Munster 24. So they've kept that gap between them. Some solid, solid defensive work from Munster, keeping them a bit. And that's with 75 minutes gone, so nearly there as well. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. But fear not, Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.